Good morning, everyone. How we doing?
Well, that was kind of convincing.
The Lord Jesus deserves our praise. Would somebody simply agree? When two or more gathered in His name, He said there He would be. I want a second promotion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. If you don't stand up for what is right, you're gonna fall for anything. Oh, yeah. Come on and cast your votes for Jesus Christ. Claim Him as your King. I want a second promotion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Can I get a witness to testify for the Lord? Someone who is not ashamed. Stand upon His word. Do you love my Jesus? Do you love Him? Take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye.
Check. Am I still off?
Way off. I got a green.
Hello. Can you hear me now? Ah, we're on. I knew we'd be on. Yeah. We're right on the money. Hey, good job, Tam.
Thank you.
Good job. The boys over here, they're not saying say I, they're saying say hi. Hi. But that's what the, for Christians, we need to say hi to one another and be nice, right?
Yes.
And if you love the Lord, you need to say hi.
Yes.
That was very nice. You have your show tonight?
I have three shows left.
Three shows left. Come and see Tamara tonight and little Talia. Good job today. Well, it's good to see you all out. Let's go to prayer. Ask the Lord to bless our time. Lord, we thank you for today. Just pray that you'll bless our time as we share together. Pray that you'll open our minds, open our hearts. Help us to receive what you'd have us to receive. Forgive us where we fail. And I pray, Lord, you just lift us up. Bless us now. We ask this in Christ's name. We pray and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, shake someone's hand and say, God bless you. Okay?
It's all about the hug. Yes. Yes. No. Yes. It's all about the hug.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
So you're not me.
Hi. Hi. No. Never was. Hi. Hi. Okay, that's good enough. Don't want you to get too friendly.
Might end up down at the Steak and Shake. They're having a big potluck dinner for the Baptist. $3.99. All you can eat. Well, not quite all you can eat, but the burger and the fries and the whatever. Have you seen that, $3.99? It's a potluck. We have Gary Dooms in the house, folks. Gary Dooms, one of the best horn players in this town, or any other town for that matter. And he's going to come and play a Christmas song. Is it a Christmas? No, not today. Oh, Happy Day. Let's make him feel welcome right there. Me and the boys over there talking. You know, Forrest kind of, well, he likes to think of himself as a semi kind of a woodwinds type of guy, saxophonist. He was in the band. So guess what I said? Well, he'd at least make third chair. Yeah, the band people, do you know what I'm talking about? Forget it. Okay. It went right past them. Give it up for Gary, dude. Come on. Every week we have Brother Gary. Now, Gary was all hurt this morning. I got to tell the story. Last week, Mike spilled the beans about the kidney stones on Sunday. He wasn't supposed to say anything because I really didn't know about the kidney stone until I went to the ER on Monday because I was having some issues. And they went and did a CT scan. I guess they call it a CT scan. And they came back to me and they said, well, we have good news and bad news. You know how they do that? Why do they do that? I always go, give me the worst. Am I dying? Go ahead, just lay me out. He said, no, you got kidney stones, multiples in the right side. Well, that's where the pain's coming from. And I said, what's the good news? He said, you have matching stones. It's on the left and the right. You have them in both kidneys. So the word kind of got out, I guess, that I was in the ER just to get things going because I'd gone to my other doctor, and they said, go on over there and let's get a scan. So they did the scan. So that got out. Brother Gary ran with that because he saw it on Facebook, I think. Oh, Michelle. Michelle, the voice of Branson, who calls, gets on the phone and starts calling. And you told him, I guess, that's how it would. Oh, that's how it gets. Please pray for so-and-so. They're dying. But they're not dying. Anyway, I love you. Anyway, so this is how it started. So Michelle told him, he gets on there. Oh, everyone pray for Brother Dave. He's in the ER. Well, this is 10 hours after the fact. I was home by then and resting comfortably at the point. And all of a sudden, my phone blew up. Brother Dave's in the ER. Are you in? What's going on? Are you alive? What's going on? So then Aaron got on the phone, Aaron Costas, and he starts now doing the retroactive thing, you know, going back and corrected all that. You did fine, brother. It was only 10 hours after the fact. So if I do die, you may hear about it 10 hours later. I love you, Gare. It's okay. He still felt bad. He said, I didn't want to cause any. No, you didn't cause any problem. Made me feel like people cared. Only 10 hours after the fact. Okay, we're good. We have Bernie from the Hard Luck Diner. She's going to come and sing for us. We love Bernie.
Hello. Oh, I'm here. There you go.
Okay.
Okay.
So what are you going to sing for us today?
I'm going to sing something to shout about.
Oh, that's a good one.
No matter what we go through in life, there's always something good to shout about.
All right.
Even and if that's the birth of Christ,
whatever,
right?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what this one is.
All right. Let's hear for her right there.
Okay.
Give her a hand.
There we go.
In a starry night, something to shout about. Angels with good news to lie, something to shout about. Baby born in Bethlehem, something to shout about. Peace on earth to the wilderness, something to shout about. Something good to shout about. Christ has come to save the lost from sin, take us out. I have good, good news to bring, salvation through the newborn King. Baby lying in the hay, something to shout about, giving us our first Christmas day. Something to shout about. Wise men traveled from afar. Something to shout about. Traveling by the light of a star. Something to shout about. Something good to shout about. Christ has come to save the lost from sin. Take us out. I have good, good news to bring. Salvation through the newborn King. Something to shout about. Something to shout about. I have good, good news to bring. Salvation through the newborn King. Something good to shout about. Christ has come to save the lost from sin, take us out. I have good, good news to bring. Salvation through the newborn King. I have good, good news to bring. Salvation through the newborn King. Salvation through the newborn King.
Good job, Bernie.
Oh.
Yeah, you need this.
I need this.
the sticky thing. Okay,
thank
good.
You. Thank you very much.
Okay, we got the Herzog brothers. The hurtling Herzogs. The flying Herzogs. The famous Herzogs.
You have to look at his beautiful little bow tie. He tied that himself.
I like that bow tie, Forrest. Very nice. Squawk. Something squawk.
Is that my mic?
Are you making noise over there? Okay. Right. Well, the Herzogs, they do some bluegrass. Don't you love them? We love having them part of this ministry. And every week, you can see them right here on Sundays. Or in their prospective shows, they play in town and do a wonderful job in the shows they're in town. So, Forrest, tell us what you're going to do, brother.
Well, we're going to do Oh Happy Day, but Gary beat us to it.
Now, we're going to do Satan's Jeweled Crown.
Oh, love that one.
Now, if I were king and a ruler of nations, diamonds and jewels profound, well, I'd rather know that I had salvation than to know my reward would be Satan's jeweled crown. Satan's jeweled crown. God from my soul has reached down. His love set me free, and He made me His own, and He helped me cast on.
can't walk in these shoes. Somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord.
Give them all a great big hand. That was a great worship today, wasn't it? So when you go home and you've been on vacation and you tell people you were in church, you can say, I really was in church. Amen? We're in the book of the Revelation, chapter 14. Now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. And I'm going to say this straight up. It's going to be one hell of a sermon. You chuckle, you laugh. When I studied this week, it scared the heck out of me. Not just for me, but friends, people, folks I know and love. Because we're talking about hell. Now, 20 years ago, I have my pastor friend Bruce down here. We couldn't have said that from the pulpit, could we have? But you know, today we're living in a different day and age. A day and age where Christians live like Satan. and think in the back of their minds, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm going to heaven. And they're going to hell. This week, as I studied Revelation chapter 14, through John the Beloved, he had a vision of hell that frightened me. Why did it frighten me? It frightened me because the plight of the Church of Jesus Christ today is in a situation where most of the people think they're sheep. They think they're true sons and daughters of the Lord. They think they're true followers of Jesus Christ. In reality, they're goats. And they're following Satan. It's a wake-up call. That being said, now that I got your attention, and you're all looking here, let's turn to the book of the Revelation. Chapter 14. Scary stuff. Verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Talked about this last week. We're going back just a fraction. 144,000. Who are these? These are the evangelists that are brought forth in the book of the Revelation. Now, I told you that the book of the Revelation is not chronological. It gives certain events that take place and then later goes back and talks about them. It's like a series that you're watching on television. And you know where you are in the series, and all of a sudden you're in a place where you don't recognize, because they're going back in time and telling you and being a little bit more detailed. See, we really didn't know who these 144,000 were. Who are these people? Up until this point. Now, we're going back. And we're going to find out exactly who these 144,000 evangelists, witnesses for the Lord, are. On Mount Zion. Well, heaven, as it were. And with them 144,000, having his Father's names written in their forehead. God's name is written in their forehead. They belong to the Lord. They're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so the fathers, who we don't know his name. Remember, he's the unnamed God in the Old Testament. You tell him, I am that I am. You tell him, I am has sent you, the self-existent one. Always is, always was, and always will be. Eternal God. We don't have a name. There is a name. Name's going to be written in the 144,000 on their forehead. Now, those that choose the beast and Satan will write and allow him to implant, as we're talking about, the mark upon them. We're going to talk more about that. So either you have the mark of God on you or the mark of Satan on you. It's the same today. If you say you're a Christian but you have the mark of Satan on you, and you're living for Satan, you've taken the mark of the beast. It's all about behavior, your walk, how you're behaving. But if you've taken the mark, the name of God, the name of the Lord, you behave like God wants you to behave, according to the dictates and the precepts in the Bible. You live according to the Word of God. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. It was the joke. You don't want to hear the harpers harping too soon. That means you're going to heaven, right? But in heaven, it's a great thing. King David played on the harp and sang praises to the name of God and to the glory of God. In heaven, there's some singing going on. Now, I love the Herzog brothers. They always bring a message. I love Bernie. I love Tamara. Love Mikey when he's here. I love the way Gary plays on the horn. I love all these instruments. In heaven, there's instruments playing. There's songs being sung. And it's all directed to the Lamb of God. Now, look. Verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne. Who? The 144,000. And before the beast and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed, purchased, bought out of the slave market of sin. They were bought by the blood of the Lamb. They were redeemed from the earth. We have three things we fight: the world, the flesh, and the devil. They were redeemed from the world. No longer did the world, the flesh, or the devil have hold on them. They were bought by the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's the truth. If we're bought by the blood of the Lamb, why in goodness sakes name would we want to go back into the slave market of sin and live there and dwell there and behave there and walk there and rub shoulders with all those people that are part of the slave market of sin? Doesn't make any sense, does it? And they sung as it were a new song before the throne. Why? Because they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When we first accepted Jesus Christ, we were happy. You know, I accepted Christ when I was a little kid. Actually, I was 3 years old. I remembered I knelt down by the plastic couch. We had a plastic house, red plastic couch on the farm. And my mom led me through the prayer, and I accepted Christ. I love the Lord because I've been taught that since I was a kid. And I accepted Christ into my heart and life. I went and told my family, I accepted Christ. I went to Sunday school. I told all the people. I told the people at the preschool, I accepted Christ. They all thought I was crazy. Then I began preaching to people. I did. When I was 5 years old, if I went into an elevator and they used to smoke in the elevators, and I'd see the people smoking, I'd tell them, you're going to hell. Nothing has changed in all these years. I'm still telling people they're going to hell. I didn't want anyone to go to hell. God instilled that within me. That's who Dave Hamner is, folks. I don't want to lose a soul to Satan. And I hate Satan's guts. Because he wants to destroy that which is good. And that's all he cares about. Destruction and destroying that which is good and holy and righteous and pure. And if he can bring you down and trip you up and ensnare you and trap you and trick your mind into thinking it's okay to do the things that are in the world, you're wrong. You're wrong. They sung, as it were, a new song because they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Oh, my goodness. I don't know 144,000 virgins today that are young people. Do you? Think about it. God's going to preserve 144,000 Jewish males that are young. You say it can't be done. Not today. The world is so messed up. There's no virgins anymore. Hey. Even Christians slip up and fall and this and that. 144,000 won't. And they're men. And men have, they say, more of a difficult time. They have not defiled, polluted themselves, been immoral. Those 144,000 people have a directive. They want to live for the Lord no matter what. They have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. That means they're unmarried, young Jewish evangelists that are on fire for Jesus Christ. It's during the tribulation time. You say all is lost? No, it's not. Not for the 144,000 that are out every day putting their lives on the line witnessing for Jesus Christ. It goes on, verse 4. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They don't follow Satan. Follow means to walk the same path. Follow in the Greek is akalutheo, which means to be in the same way, with to walk the same way, to accompany. They're shoulder to shoulder walking with Jesus Christ every day. That's the 144,000. Remember, during this time, the Holy Spirit is removed. So sin is rampant. You say we're bad now? Pornography? 89% of the world's pornography comes from the United States of America? Yeah, we're polluted. We're defiled. We're messed up. It's crept into the churches. People see it every single day. You watch television, you're seeing some form of porneia, is the Greek word. You're seeing some form of pornography, which means illicit sex. You know, I had a Christian friend tell me this last week. Well, so-and-so, they're living with somebody now. This person, Christian person, PK, a preacher's kid, living in sin. Let's just call it what it is. Let's don't put a nice little picture on it and say it's all fluffy and it's all nice because they love each other. The Bible says unless we stand before Him and make a commitment to God, a covenant for life, we're not to have sexual relations with anybody else. That's blatant. That's what the Word of God says. Now, guess what? 144,000 young Jewish boys take it literal. And they want to walk with the Lord. They give themselves to God in purity, not defiling themselves with the philosophy of immorality that the world throws at us every day. If they can stand up when sin is rampant, we're going to talk about that in a second. When sin is rampant, if they can stand up and they can be pure and holy, what's wrong with our young people today? I get so discouraged. I used to be a youth pastor. 15 years I was a youth pastor. I mean, I get so upset. The kids, one time they came in and they told me they want this boy to be part of the youth group, and he was a drug dealer in town, see? He'd sell them the nickel bank so they could smoke the dope. They'd come in smelling like that crud every... I hated that smell. You say, well, Brother Dave, you know what the smell... Yes, I know what that... I'd call it another name. I can't... I won't get in the flesh today, Lord, I promise. Smells just like what it smells like. You want to smoke that stuff? Mess your mind up? They say the hospitals are now getting full of young people that are having anxiety and panic attacks because they're on that crud. Oh, it doesn't. It's all natural. Bull! Well, you know, I'm going to be... Bull poop is natural, too. You want to smoke that? Get real! Christians, we're so deluded. We're so misguided. We're so bombarded by the world's philosophy hitting us every day that pretty soon we just give up. Well, I'm not giving up. I'm making a big stink today. It's going to get worse. They are they which follow the Lamb wherever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men. They were redeemed from the world, and now they're redeemed from men. Man's philosophy, man's way of thinking, man's corrupt, defiling, polluted way of living. They're redeemed out of that lifestyle. Being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. First fruits means the best stuff. The first means the best of the harvest, the best of the flocks. These 144,000 were the best of the best during the tribulation. And they were set aside and set apart and sanctified unto God. You know, very seldom do we preach about holiness and sanctification and purity to our young people today. We've given up from the pulpits. You know, the pastors say it's not up to us. It's up to the parents. And the parents say it's up to the pastor to do it. The church to do it. We're kind of at odds with one another. But I tell you, if we're preaching the Word of God from the pulpits and it's in our homes, then our young people will know there's a value to put upon purity and virginity. There's a value to put upon being holy and set apart unto God. We as Christians have to be different. We're the lights of the world. We're the salt of the earth. If we're just like them, we're no different. We're no different. We have nothing to offer them. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, the best of the best. Verse 5, and in their mouth, I love this, was found no guile. Guile in the Greek is dolos, which means to decoy, to trick, to deceit, to bait. You know, this word guile is like a, it's a lure. You know, you throw it in the water and you try to catch a fish. It swims like a fish. It looks like a fish. It's got hooks all over it, man. Some big old bass lays into it. Set that hook in him. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you women know, too. I love going fishing. I love catching. Love tricking those bass. There's no trickery in these 144,000. There's no lying, no deception. Everything that comes out of their mouth is truth. Now, here's the truth. If you're a Christian, you walk in truth. You speak in truth. You talk in truth. If you're not a Christian, you talk in deception. And untruths and lies are part of your everyday life. Why? Because you're of your father, the devil. And Satan is the father of lies. The Bible says that. So if we follow Satan, we're going to be liars just like him. Am I right? Aren't we all products of our environment, so to speak? If we grow up in a decent home, a Christian home, you know, we may have some issues, but we're going to come back. We're going to live for the Lord. We're going to try to keep ourselves where we should be. If we got a decent home, if our home is not what it seems to be, it maybe seems to look like a Christian home, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's phony. Maybe there's hypocrisy and nobody knows about it. Then we're going to have a mixed bag and we're going to do things maybe we shouldn't do and we're going to act all confused because we're confused. But you grow up in a Christian home where you have a mother and father that love the Lord and each other and want to encourage the young people to live for the Lord and keep themselves right. You're going to be on the right track. You may slip, like I said, but you're going to get yourself where you're supposed to be. Here's the problem today. Our homes are not what they should be. There's hypocrisy. The young people are seeing the hypocrisy going on. They're seeing things that are out of whack with the preacher, what the Bible says in the home. And they say, hey, I can do whatever I want. We wonder why our kids go a little crazy. Check out your own life. See where you are with the Lord. If you're not where you should be, the kids aren't going to be where they should be. Remember this. The kids are going to do 20 or 30 times more than you ever did. The percentage goes up. They're going to be worse than you were. Oh, my gosh, I hope not. Get over yourself. That's why you pray for them and you raise them up right and you teach them the right direction. Amen? All right, back to this. There's no guile. They don't lie. If they were liars, they were of Satan, but they speak the truth. And guess what? The world hears the truth through these 144,000. There's no guile in them whatsoever. For they are without fault before the throne of God. There's no fault in them. They don't try to snare people or try to trick them. They give them the truth of the gospel, and they respond to it. They're without fault. Hamamas in the Greek, which means unblemished, without blame, without a spot. They're like those perfect lambs, ready for sacrifice. It's interesting that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then it's interesting that we as Christians are equated as sheep. Did you ever see the correlation with that? The Lamb and we're the sheep. We're to be like Jesus Christ. We're to live like Him, act like Him, behave like Him. Walk in the fruits of the Spirit on a daily basis. We're to be like little Christ. That's what the word Christian means. We're like Him, like the Lamb. We don't live like Satan, the goat. We don't live like the devil and walk in defilement and pollution every day. We walk a new life. Verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. There's another angel, and he has the everlasting gospel. I love this. The word angel in the Greek is angelos, which means messenger to bring tidings. It also can mean a pastor. A pastor is supposed to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the people, the gospel. Fly in the midst of heaven, having everlasting. Nothing can stop it. The gospel. Everlasting gospel. And it's unique. At the root of the word gospel in the Greek is the word angelos. Euangelion is the word for gospel, which means a good message. The angels report the message, bring the tidings of what? The good news of Jesus Christ. They bring a good message. That's their messenger. They're coming with the good news. And what's that news? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it in a nutshell. There we have it. That Jesus died on the cross, shed His precious blood for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day so that we could have everlasting life. He didn't die for us because we deserve it. He didn't die for us because we're so good. He died for us because He loves us. And He wants us to be with Him. When we come under the blood of the cross and our lives are changed, and that's the key, we have a changed life. We're walking with Jesus every day. Not just once a week or once a month or once in a while when we choose it. We walk with Him on a daily basis because He's our Lord and Savior. We walk with Him. We live for Him. We behave the way we should. Then we're one with the Lord. We're one with Him. We're doing exactly what the Lord wants Him to do. The gospel has gotten into our hearts. It's changed us. It's transformed us. We're not conformed to the world anymore, but we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind. How does that happen? By coming to the cross of Christ. We've been renewed. We've been changed forever and ever. Having the everlasting gospel to preach. I love it that it lasts forever and ever. That gospel message will continue to go on. You remember the angels during the Christmas time? They came and they scared the shepherds to death. Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Good news. The gospel. There it is. Euangelion. We bring you the gospel. There's a Savior that's born. The Savior that's going to take the sin of the world on His body. It's going to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You understand this as shepherds. You know what I'm talking about. Anyone that comes to the cross can be saved and changed. Everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Some commentators think this about that verse 6. It's the last major push for revival on the planet before the world is turned upside down and goes to hell. This is the last major push. Even the angels are now proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, not just the 144,000 witnesses and evangelists. We know this about them too. Just a little sidetrack. Those 144,000, they preach the gospel. They live for Jesus. But they die as martyrs. Every one of those 144,000 are going to give up their lives for the Lord. We talked about this the last time. Well, you say that's not fair. Life isn't fair. You mean they gave up their whole lives to the Lord and that's how God blessed them? No, God blessed them by honoring them and taking them to heaven. We think the worst thing in this world is that we're going to die. It's not. For the Christian, it's the best thing. We're graduated. We've gone on home to be with the Lord. The worst thing is if you're not living for Jesus. And you don't know for sure if you're going to make it. And if you make it, the Bible says, so was through the fire, still smelling like fire and brimstone. Because you barely made it. The gospel will be preached to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and people. All people will hear the gospel. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice. And these are imperatives now in the imperative voice, which means it's a command. The angel said, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. They're speaking this to all the world. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth and this declaration and proclamation of the gospel is to fear God. Fear him. Phobos in the Greek. Which means to have a dread, a feeling of dreadfulness. Yeah, God. Need to fear him. Need to fear him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. He made everything that exists on the planet. Think about it. He spoke it into existence. We're sitting here today because he took and he made man from the dust of the ground. We're sitting here today only because of God. Fear him. That's a command. Give glory to him. Honor the place that's due him. For the hour of his judgment is come. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Come on, let's all face it. We grew up in Sunday school, the cradle roll. I did. I'm an old Baptist. The first song they taught me was, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Did you learn that song? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. That's true. It's true. What was the second song I learned? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the... Did you learn it? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And it's true. It's in the Bible. He loves us all the same. But we see a complete change in direction in the middle of the tribulation. Does Jesus still love us? Yes. Does he love the little children? Yes. But judgment is coming. God's angry with us. I'm just so surprised today that he doesn't shake the world up. I mean, during the tribulation, we're going to talk about this. We're going to be hit by cataclysmic events. We've already talked about some of the things. One of them, a big mountain explodes like a volcanic eruption. And in the top of this huge mountain is going to go into the ocean and decimate it and destroy it because it's going to turn into fire and volcanic juices and lava are going to pour into the ocean and just destroy. There's going to be tsunamis. At one point, one-third of the world's population. At another point, it's like one-half of the world's population wiped out by famine, diseases, plagues. Oh, you say it's too scary. That's why the angel says, fear God. It's time to wake up. No more Mr. Nice Guy. No more will they going to be saying, oh, Jesus loved me, when they know he right now he's not. First, Jesus came as a suffering servant in all humility and meekness. When he comes the second time, it's the conquering king. He's coming against Satan and his minions. Guess who his minions are? Anyone that takes the mark of the beast or anyone that serves him. So today, it's a wake-up call. If you're serving Satan, you're his minion. It's time to change direction. It's time to get yourself right with the Lord. You know, we talk about repenting and confession. When we confess, that's the first part of this repenting. When we've been wrong, we agree with God. That's what confession means. Homologeo, to say the same thing. I agree with God that I'm sinful and I'm in the wrong direction. Repent means a complete change in your life. But you know where a lot of Christians stop? By just admitting they've done wrong. I admit I did wrong. I'm sorry. And they leave it at that and they don't change their lives. Just an admission that you've done something wrong does not mean you've repented and turned from your sin. We have to change the course of our lives. How do we do that? By the blood of the Lamb, when we come to the cross. In the middle of the tribulation, here it is, all hell's breaking loose. Judgment is coming. It gets worse and worse. Verse 8. And there followed another angel. All these angels are making the declarations and proclamations by their messengers of God. They give tidings, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon, the great, is fallen. Okay, so this is the first time we've come up with this in the book of the Revelation. Who are they talking about? Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon? One of the world's seven great wonders was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon? Is that what they're talking about? Where Babylon took over the world, was one of the great empires? We've already talked about that. There was Babylon. There were the Medes and the Persians. There was the Grecian, the Roman. Who? There's that fifth one. That fifth empire. It's going to rule the world under one man. That fifth empire, Babylon. Babylon's always been around from the book of Genesis. There was a fellow by the name of Nimrod who did not fear God. All he cared about was himself. So guess what he did? He built this huge ziggurat, went up to the heavens. What's what it was, a ziggurat, they call it. Like a big temple going up into the sky. The place was Babel, Babylon. They had their own religion going, their own gods. And God got angry and confused the tongues. And the nations were born from the confusion. And everyone went their own way. Babylon. Built by Nimrod. The Babylon will be back. But it's an imagery. It's an illustration of the empire that the beast, the dictator, the Antichrist, will rule. Here they call it Babylon. It's his counterfeit empire. Babylon has fallen, remember? The picture in the book of Daniel? A stone as big as a mountain, carved without hands, yeah, supernaturally, hit the statue right at the feet where that fifth empire was. Iron and clay were in the legs and the feet. And this big statue just crumbled. And the wind came out and blew it all away. Nothingness. Nothingness. The rock, the stone that was carved without hands is Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. His judgment is coming. He will rule the world with an iron fist. No more, Mr. Nice Guy. And the angel is saying, Babylon has fallen. It's complete. It's over. The Antichrist rule will be decimated and coming to an end. That great city. Why was she destroyed? Because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Well, is it literal? Wine and fornication? Well, let's just face it, it goes hand in glove. When people get drunk, they do things you shouldn't do. Amen? You know, I heard this when I was a kid. Candy is dandy, but liquor's quicker. When people get drunk or impaired, they make the wrong choices in life. They do the wrong things with their body. They do the wrong things in their behavior. They say the wrong things. They act out the wrong things. They do bad stuff under the influence of another spirit. That's why the Bible says that people that are drunkard, people that love to imbibe in alcohol, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I thought maybe I'm just an old fuddy-duddy. Maybe I'm just an old Baptist. Maybe there's something wrong with this kid that I still hold to the fact and the teaching of the Scripture. That wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and he that is deceived is not wise. Is he going to do anything with wine or alcohol? Give it to someone who's dying in the last. Use it as an opiate to try to ease their pain. Until then, King Solomon said it bites like a serpent. Goes down smooth and bites you like a serpent. I talked to a man from Assembly of God movement. He's kind of a leader in the church. And I said, is there something wrong with me? I said, I've seen so many of our young people, they can hardly wait to get out of the show or do this or that to go get drunk at night. That's all they want to live for, is partying. Their refrigerators are full of alcohol, the freezers are full, and then they go to the bars and the clubs. Then they're smoking their weed. And they're doing drugs. And they claim to be Christian. You know what this man said to me? He said, no. The Scripture still stands. Those people that do that, they're not saved. Those people that do that type of behavior, they're not going to heaven. Those people are wicked. He used the word wicked. Wicked. And he said, alcohol is wickedness. It never helps anybody. Well, I learned that when I was a kid. And I'd go calling with my dad into a home where people were all confused and fighting each other. I never found out that liquor really helped the situation out. No, never did. So if you think I'm an old fuddy-duddy, if you think I'm just an old Baptist up here just pounding the pulpit about wine and alcohol, I'm telling you, you're right. I don't care what you think about me, but I want you to see what's going on here. Here's the truth. Babylon is going to fall. Why? Because it made the nations, all people, drink wine of the wrath of fornication. Now, there is a spiritual immorality in the Old Testament and the New Testament with the Jews, when they're supposed to be worshiping their God, and they were supposed to have a marital relationship with their God. And then they would choose to worship other gods. Like the golden calf. Yeah, he really brought them out of Egypt. They would fall snared to worshiping other gods throughout their entire history. And God had to spank them over and over again. The Babylonian captivity, the Medes and the Persian, that captivity. There were others. The Roman Empire came in. The Grecian Empire came in. There were other problems that they had. God had to take them away into captivity and try to restructure them and get their minds right. It took them a long time. And they still struggled with idolatry, worshiping other gods instead of the true God. But Babylon, the beast, going to set up that image in the temple. And people will fall and worship that God. And if they don't, they will die. They will be murdered. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, he threw them in the fiery furnace. If they don't bow. Babylon. Drink the wine for wrath and fornication. Spiritual adultery. When we worship another god. It can be anything. Humanism. It can be our own selves. We can become God of our own lives. The choices we make apart from God. We're God. If we're worshiping ourselves and doing the own dictates of our own heart. And performing that way and behaving that way. Against the Bible. Against Scripture. We're involved in spiritual fornication and adultery. We're not with our spouse, God Himself. We're not with the Lord Himself. We're serving another spirit, another God. But it's interesting. In the worship of those other gods, in the worship of idols, they're always involved two things. Drunkenness, Bacchus. And immorality, temple prostitution. There were orgies. That's what they did. So when John is writing this under the influence of the Holy Ghost, he knows what's going on because he's living in a time where he saw it. When people went to the temple worship, they got drunk and they committed all kinds of illicit immorality. It wasn't the type of structure that God had planned for them. That's why the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Holy and acceptable unto Him. A living sacrifice unto God. That's what our bodies are supposed to be. And if it's not, not going to make it. Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's a scary picture right there. If we're not living for the Lord, there's only one other person we can live for, and that's Satan. God's angry. He uses the word wrath. He's ticked off. Thumos in the Greek. Passion. Just strong. Anger even. The wrath of God is there. God's angry with us. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Okay. So God says, you want to drink wine? I'm going to shove it down your throat. I'll give you a belly full of it. Now listen to what I'm saying. Do you see the imagery here? All those people drank of the wine of Babylon, fornication. You want to be drunk? You want to do things immorally? You want to behave badly? I'll show you how it's done. Look what it says. Drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. It's not diluted. I talk to some of these young people. They like to dilute it, man. I can't drink vodka straight, so I'll dilute it. I can't drink this one type of alcohol straight, so I'm going to dilute it with something else. Well, if you like it so much, why don't you just drink it straight? Well, it doesn't really taste that good. Oh, it's all about taste now? No, it's about how you feel. How you feel. Come on. People don't take drugs because it tastes good. I don't think they smoke that weed and go, man, this stuff just tastes so good. Man, gives you the worst breath, stinky. Ooh. God is going to give the wine. You want to drink? The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, not diluted, into the cup of his indignation. Indignation is orge, which means wrath, violent, passion, anger, punishment. God's not going to dilute it. If we're not living for the Lord, if we're living after the own dictates of our heart, if we're living for Satan, he's not going to go easy on you. He's not going to dilute the wrath, the punishment. He's not going to go easy on you. He's going to give you the full benefit of the law, which means you won't make it. So they drink it without any mixture, undiluted. His anger, his punishment is not going to be. And it says, and he shall be tormented. Now, this is the word that scares me. Basanizo in the Greek. The first word that came out and jumped out at me is this. Tortured. What happened to Jesus loves me? What happened to Jesus loves the little children? Now he's going to torture us? If we love the Lord, this is the doctrine. We will persevere till the end. The perseverance of the saints is one of the tenets of Christian faith. No matter if you're a five-point Calvinist or not. I'm not a five-pointer. But I believe in that part. Perseverance of the saints. The true saints will persevere to the end. We will remain with the Lord no matter what. We will walk with him no matter what we're going through. We will be a Christian and behave as a Christian no matter how badly our life is going. We won't make excuses. We won't point the finger. We will be exactly what we should be. Christians to the end. To the end. And it may be the bitter end for some of us. As we're persecuted, maybe, possibly, if we're martyred for the faith, it's going to be the bitter end. But we're going to walk with the Lord and not deny him all the days of our life. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented, tortured with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The Lamb is there. Jesus is there. He's watching it all go down. There he is. He's the just judge, the merciful judge. So if God's so full of mercy and Jesus is all about mercy, why is he going to torture the people? The only people that are going to go through this torment, this basanizo, the pain, the punishment, fire and brimstone. Brimstone means sulfur in the Greek, sulfur. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone, sulfur was rained down upon them. It didn't come from the earth. It came from heaven. Fire and brimstone purified that whole area. God will judge the world, and he will be the just judge. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, boy, this is tough preaching, you haven't heard tough preaching until you read the Bible. I'm reading the Bible to you. These are my words. This isn't what I'm going to do. If it was up to me, I'd be too lenient. I'd be too soft. I could not be the just judge because my heart would go out to these people in the fire and the brimstone. I'd say they weren't so bad. They weren't too bad. But Jesus knows the truth. He knows the innermost part of our being. He knows who we really are. He sees us. And he watches every day. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. God's going to be there. When will it take place? After the great white throne, where the Bible says Satan and his angels are cast into there. And then anyone who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. Look at the next passage here. And the smoke, verse 11, of their torment, their torture, their punishment, ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. I told you this. If you live for Satan, you've taken the mark of the beast. Because no Christian would ever live for the devil. Because we've been redeemed, bought out of the slave market of sin. We're different now. We're changed. If you're really born again, if you're really a Christian, if you really come to the cross and under the blood, you're not going to take the mark of the beast. And how do we do this today? We're not in the tribulation. How do we do it? By living for Satan, we've taken the mark of the beast. We live for him. The world knows who we are. We're one of them. But if we've taken the mark of God in our foreheads, the world looks at us and knows we're different. They know that we're not like them. They know that we have purity and we have sanctification in our hearts, and we want to do everything that is righteous and holy before God. We're set apart. We're different. We're not like the rest of the world. But those that take the mark of the beast and those that die in their sin, they're tortured forever and ever. That's what the word just said. I didn't make it up. John the Beloved wrote this to warn everyone. They're tortured forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. You know, I got these kidney stones. It's a weird thing. The pain just sets in on you. How many of you had kidney stone before? Look at brothers and sisters. We're all stoners. I say that teasingly. Not really. You know what I'm talking about when I tell you. There's no pain like that. I talked to a lady the other day. She said she had a baby. It was a doctor. She said she had a baby. See, that was worse than having a baby. See, I'm telling you the truth. It just sets in on you. And you go down. I remember one time I had an episode of stone and got stuck and they had to go in there and crush. It was horrible. But I was laying in the room, in the hospital room on my side, and people knew me. I was so embarrassed. I was in a fetal position. Is that you, Brother Dave? Yes, me. What are you doing down there? I'm in pain. I would turn. I would get up against the wall. I would sit up. I would stand up. I would walk. I would lay flat, lay on my stomach, lay on my side. I could not get any relief. And I'm telling you this because I'm going through a little bit of this right now. In the day, the great white throne, when your name is not written in the book of life, the Bible says, that cast you into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. God will supernaturally create a body for you that will last forever and ever, just like he will for those that have accepted Christ and the redeemed, like the 144,000 those that are redeemed. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to be like Jesus. We're going to have that glorified state. But guess what? Those that have not accepted Christ, those that have taken the mark of the beast, or those that die in their sins and live for Satan, they've taken the mark already. God knows it. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And there's going to be this one thought that's going to, when will this end? I can't get any relief. Stand up, sit down, lean against the wall, lay on my side, get a fetal position. There's no relief. Because the torture goes on day and night, forever and ever and ever. You say, well, that's not a good God. It's not a merciful God. That fire and brimstone, lake of fire, is not prepared for humans. It never had the concept in God's mind to throw people in there. It was to contain Satan and his angels that rebelled against God. But if we choose to serve Satan and he's our master, guess who we end up with? Our master. And where will he be? The lake of fire that goes on forever and ever. Now we have to quit. But next week, we're going to pick this up and we have a little bit more to go. I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want you to get miserable. I don't want you to stay away and not come back because we're talking this way. I'm trying to get us all to wake up. People are dying around us. They need to be saved. Folks that we know are out there wallowing in sin and the muck and the mire with the pigs, like the prodigal. They need to come back to God and get their hearts right and live a better life unto God and have their lives changed forever and ever. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. The Bible says it's appointed to the man once to die and after that the judgment. Judgment is coming. Make no mistake. It's coming. Will you be with the Lord or will you be with Satan? That's the question. Who are you serving today? God or Satan? If you're serving Satan, you will be with him. I don't care if you said a simple prayer of faith. I don't care if your family were all Christians. I don't care if you went to church and were baptized. I don't care about that. Neither does God. God cares about where you are right now, this moment. Are you living for him? If you're not walking with the Lord, you're doomed. You're doomed. It's time to wake up and to live for Christ. If you're, or at least claim to be a Christian, you need to get your heart right with the Lord. You need to confess that you've been in a bad situation. Repent. Just don't admit you've done wrong. Repent, that means turn from your sin. Admitting is not enough. You have to confess. You have to repent. It's time to repent and change. Maybe you're here today, there's sin in your life. You need to confess it today. While your heads are bowed, no one's looking. If you want to get your heart right with the Lord, you need to confess right now, right where you're seated. Would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. Yes. Anyone else? This is your moment with the Lord right now. You could walk out of here. You could get hit by a car. You could have a heart attack. You could die. We don't know. A young kid, high schooler, went down. Heart attack. 17 years old, he was down. On the sideline. Happens every day. People die. Young people. Like I said, death doesn't care about your age. You're here today. You said, there's things I need to get right with the Lord. Anyone at all, just raise your hand and put it down. Yes. Yes. We're going to pray here in a moment. Yes. God bless you. Yes. Maybe you're here today and you say, Dave, if I died right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. According to what you just read. According to the Scripture, I'm not a Christian. All I have to look forward to is the judgment. But if you're here today and you say, Brother Dave, I want to change. I want to accept Christ. I want Jesus to be in my heart and life. If you're like that, you've never accepted Him, well, you may have thought you had. But according to the way you've been living, you know you haven't. You know it hasn't been real. But today you want to live for the Lord. You want to change. You need to come to the cross. Come under the blood of Jesus. If you're like that, would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. I'm going to say a simple prayer. This prayer is for your heart. And you can get your heart right with God and you can leave here a changed person. This is for you. I want you to say this prayer. You can say it out loud with me. You say, I've done this before. That's okay. You'll encourage your neighbor. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I know I'm a sinner. I need you. I want you to come into my heart and life and take away all my sins. I now confess and agree with you that I have sinned. I now repent of my sin. And choose to walk in newness of life from here on. I thank you for the blood which cleanses away every sin. Help me, Lord, to live for you. Help me to live each and every day committed unto you. Help me to be pure and righteous and holy, just as you are holy. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and life. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, the Bible says if you prayed that, your name is written in the book of life. You're a Christian right now. It's a wonderful thing to know that your name is in the book. If this was your first time of praying that, to accepting Christ, would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. Yes, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Amen. You can put your hands down. Lord, I thank you for these that have prayed to receive you. But Lord, I pray for the Christians. And some of us are deluded by thinking just because we say a prayer that we don't have to live for you. No, that's the test that we have to go through. To live the holy and sanctified life in you. That's the only proof, the only sign, the only mark that we're truly Christian and belong to you. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless all of these that raise their hands. I pray for these that have opened up their minds and hearts to you, Lord, that you will help them live for you each and every day. Help them to walk out of here new creatures in you, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do. We pray a blessing upon each and every person. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. And I know these words were kind of harsh today and hard, but I'm telling you, it all comes from here. It comes from the Word of God. Now, next week, we're going to come back and revisit this a little bit and try to finish up chapter 14. We did pretty good today. We were moving along at a pretty good clip, I thought. So, if you're here next week, if you're not here, you can go online and you can listen to all of these sermons online. So we're going to have communion here in a moment as soon as I dismiss in prayer. Right over here, just come on over, and we'll all partake together. We have a bucket on the way out that helps with our ministry. We know these are tough economic times, but we do have some needs, some things going on with our air conditioning, and we're putting some new carpet. We're going to have it, I think, in January. It's going to go in here, which is really going to help us. This carpet's been here in the original form since this theater's been built. A lot of miles on this carpet. If I could tell you what else is on this, well, we won't go into that. Okay. But it's time. It really is time. But it's going to be a blessing to spruce up the theater and our church and everything else. I want everyone to stand. We have some prayer requests. Last week, I wasn't feeling so well, and I completely forgot about our prayer request. But we want to remember Ted Higginbotham. He's not doing so well. We're going to pray that God's going to be merciful to Brother Ted. You know, God takes us all in His time. It's appointed to man once to die. It's God's appointment with us. So we just pray that God's going to be merciful. Ted's not doing well, folks. But on the other hand, young Ted Jr., got his blood work back and multiple myeloma. I'm going to say that right. Multiple myeloma, that blood disease, a cancer. It's still in remission. He's doing better. So we continue to pray that God will bless him. Now, Jay's back there. Jay, how you doing, brother? You hanging in there? It's good to see you in church, brother. So you continue to hang in. He's going through his chemo, that God will just bless him. We need to lift up John Harper, still having some issues. Lynn is still in a nursing home over at Shepherd of the Hills Nursing Home. We need to pray that God will bless him. Richard Jenkins is still there. We need to pray that God will just touch him and be with him. Donna Quested, lift her up to the Lord, that God will bless her. Leo Kim and Liz Kelly out in Arizona and California, we need to lift them up to the Lord, that God's just going to bless them. Lou Carroll and Carol, that God will just be close to them and strengthen them. We just need to remember all of these requests. I talked to Pat Hall about this last week. She's doing good. So let's just lift her up to the Lord, that God will just continue to give her strength and bless her out in California. Judy Merrick is out in California. She's doing okay. She's recovering from her surgery. We're just kind of missing her, but let's just lift her up to the Lord, Judy, that God will bless her. So we'll dismiss in prayer, and then if you're able to stay, come on over here, and we'll do communion. Now come back and see Tamara and Talia tonight. It's a Christmas show here with Mag 7. Didn't they do a wonderful job, all the singers? Give them a hand. It's a wonderful blessing every week. We have the best right here. Go see the Herzog brothers. Forrest is right here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then each morning he's at the IMAX with the George Jones Show. My buddy Justin is with the Patsy Cline Show over at the Americana, and he's here also. We also have, Bernie. How come I had a brain, you know what? Yeah. It just, Bernie. She's at the Hard Luck Diner, and just go see her and her. And Gary Dooms, go see him wherever he plays around town, and then he plays here every Sunday. So let's dismiss in prayer, and then we'll go on our way. Lord, we thank you for the Word. And, Lord, the Bible promises that if we study the book of the Revelation, we receive a blessing. Lord, it's not fun. This is not a fun book. But, Lord, it's a wake-up call to the church that we get ourselves ready for the second coming. We get ourselves ready to meet you. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless us and help us and encourage us on the way. So, Lord, we thank you for all the good things you bring into our life. We pray for each and every one of these requests, those that are sick or infirm, that you will bless them and give them health today. And those that have lost loved ones, Lord, that you will give us a special encouraging spirit today. Just bless us. I pray for Leon, too, Lord, that you'll bless him and just give him strength in his life. And just continue to strengthen him. But, Lord, for all of these requests that we've lifted up to you, we pray that you'll answer them. Bless us today as we go on our way rejoicing for what we've seen and heard. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Praise to the Lord, who are all things so wondrously radiant. Shelters the under his wings, yes, so gently sustained. Hast thou not seen how our longings have been granted in what he ordained?
Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend.